Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again. And hey, Randy, how are you doing?
Aloha, mi amiga. Aloha.
We're all over the world these days. It's just, yeah, I'm so happy to be here today. And I'll tell you, my prayers and hearts, prayers go out to everybody over in Texas and the surrounding states and now in Florida. So much is going on just mind-boggling and just so happy that, I mean, praying that everybody survives this and goes forward. And it's a lot to go through, and we don't want to minimize anything. So you're in California right now, and I'm on the East Coast, heading back soon. We're kind of, we don't know what's going to happen with the East Coast later on by next week. So it's just, if we can all do what we can do and donate and give and help, it's going to be there aren't words to describe it. And it's nice to be living in the United States because I think people are pitching in and we're seeing a lot of people getting involved and going from there. So today, you know, today's going to be so much fun on our show. Today's about organizing your life. Now, who doesn't need organization? That's just like, I don't care how, I don't know. And today's so exciting because we have Kelly McMenamin. Kelly and Katie McMenamin are the pixie girls, basically. They
magical pixies. Yeah, baby.
Magical pixies. And pixies did it. They started. What they do, when you hear this, you're going to be so amazed and how it all ties in. And I'm sure every one of you is going to be able to say, oh, wow, I understand that. I get it. Not that we'll do it. And that's the big key is, like, maybe you should work with them to start doing it. But pixies did it. Shows you how to organize according to your personality type, from entranceways and kitchens to resolving conflicts with the people who share living space with you. We give you the key to create systems for keeping stuff orderly and keeping the peace. We all know life isn't easy, but organizing it should be. Organize it your way. So what's the magic behind Pixies Did It? Two professional organizers and sisters with very little in common. That's too funny. Trying to get each other to organize their lives like no other until finally they said they had a truce. I want to hear about this. And it looks like, and what if there's more than one way to organize? How are we different together? No one else gives you organizational advice, based on your personality type. Well, pixiesdidit.com, they do it. They've done it. They've created it. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Kelly McMenamin. Hey, I fucked it up. I asked you how to say your name, and I still fucked it up.
I tell you, it's intimidating to look at. Once you get it down, you can never get it wrong again. But it's hard to get it down the first time.
McMenamin.
Yep.
McMenamin. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I think, Katie may be joining us too. Are you there, Katie?
I don't think so yet. So hopefully what I'll do is I will sandbag her and then she'll join us.
Okay, and somebody else is on, and I thought in the studio. I thought that was Katie, so I was going, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's me.
Wow.
Oh, it is.
It is you. Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Hi.
So I'm going to say this right now. Katie and Kelly McMenamin. Gosh, I don't know what this is.
You can say it. You don't have to be afraid.
Swing and a miss.
And it's Irish, they said. That's just cool. Okay, so I got to hear this story. Now, what you two being sisters, and I was looking at your website, too, and it's just, I want to hear your story. It is so incredible. And then to tie in personality types and tie in, you know, why we do what, and then it's just really cool. So tell us about it.
Well,
hey, I guess Kelly.
We're
going to go with Kelly first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I will go first. Well, really, we got started, I think I was chatting earlier, but basically we got started because my sister drives me crazy. She's messy. We always call her, she calls herself the messy organizer. But really what that is she and I, just our brains are very different. And what, you know, how, for her to be organized, what it looks like is very different than what it looks like for me. And we really got started you know, me trying to organize her over and over again and failing. So it was either she was a failure, I was a failure, and I guess we're both stubborn enough not to want to admit failure. And so we decided maybe there was more than one way to organize, and we set out trying to figure out how to get her organized, because I'm just your average Joe organizer that you would think about, you know, a place for everything, everything in its place. But hers and everybody in between us, we have a lot of different systems, and we basically came up with those over 10 years of almost anthropological work as organizers in Manhattan, studying people essentially and how they interact with their belongings and manage their time and all sorts of things. And so we really kind of got down in the nitty-gritty, and that's how we came up with all of our solutions after helping clients, you know, asking them tons of questions about how they like to, you know, what their hang-ups are, what they like, what they prefer, those kind of things. And that's really what, you know, in our book, Organize Your Way, what we have is just, you know, a ton of great solutions that you can, you know, apply in your life to organize your way.
Mm. Wow. So so being sisters, I would imagine that's a little tough trying to, if you're totally opposite, trying to come up with solutions when, you know, you said you have different personality types. When you're doing this and being sisters to go into a project and start working and organizing together and create a business, I mean, that in itself can be difficult because they always talk about family businesses, you know, and you know, when you have family gets a little bit too familiar sometimes, so they think they can tell you things that an employee probably would never do, right, you know, or at least not to your face. And so different things come up with, how do we do this? Can we do a business? Can we not do a business? I would imagine, and being sisters and being different, trying to organize each other, how did you – tell us, just give us a – And you can both talk at the same time. I'm sorry. I'm only saying that because we do, with it being virtual, you know, we can't see each other so much, and it's kind of just chime in like a regular conversation. So feel comfortable. Don't feel like you have to wait. But tell us that in itself to me, like, how did that happen? And, like, did that take 6 months, 2 years, 5 years? Or, you know, because it had to be a little bit of a struggle.
It was basically, I came up with this name, Pixies Did It, and I tricked my sister into going to business with me, basically. I don't think she knew what was going on. I'm the messy one. So basically, I came up with this idea. I said, you know, we should do something fun together, and then whatever we do, we'll call it Pixies Did It. And, you know, my sister being the practical one, she was like, okay, well, what were you going to do? And eventually, when we started, it became much more manageable than it is when you don't have kids. Organizing became the biggest problem in our lives, both of ours, and so that's kind of how we came up with this idea.
But as for working together, and the, you know, you were asking about difficulties working with different personality types, having a business that's based on respecting different personality types kind of helps you get through those tough spots. You know, I think a lot of times with, whether it's family or friends or random colleagues, you know, you realize that a lot of differences and a lot of disagreements actually are not personal. Or we could do a personality type joke. They're not personal, they're a personality. But basically,
right.
It isn't, you know, about somebody really trying to piss you off as much as
right.
It's just who they are and how their brain's wired. So kind of just having that base understanding and having your business built on it really allowed us to not be as frustrated, you know, when she couldn't keep up on, like, a weekly conference call with me. Like, somehow there would always be something coming up. But she's not as scheduled as I is, and I am, like, very routine, very scheduled. So it kind of, me knowing who she is, you know, you don't take it personally. It might still annoy you, or me in this case,
right.
But I don't take it personally, which kind of does mitigate some fights.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first started, though, you already had the awareness and the knowledge. Hey, we're going to do this, but we're going to do it on personality types. It wasn't that part didn't evolve once you knew it from the get go. How did you know that from the get go, from backgrounds training or?
Basically, our mom is an art therapist, and we discovered personality tips really early on in our lives, and so we always knew. Yeah, I mean, we're a close family, which also helps too. Just knowing that we were different from an early age, and still caring about each other enough too to work on our relationship has been very helpful as well. So, but that's kind of how we, took. We just basically had these two ideas and decided there must be something to it. Also, our brother is more like me than my sister, so, she was like, either my siblings are complete idiots, or maybe they're just wired differently, and that's how we went from there.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
That's
you guys, I think about again, my first 10 years of marriage, where my wife and I are so opposite in every way, including, man, when you're setting up house with somebody, you're used to doing stuff your way and, organizing your way. And again, personalities enter in and you're like, this is just hell on earth, because you're always arguing about, stupid stuff, like where you want a couch. And, we got kicked out of more furniture stores when we were newly married, because we just argued, just angry. I don't know what made me so angry. And since you guys have a therapy background, maybe you can help me with this. But, there are things that are simple like this, right? Like furniture and organizing, that can ruin marriages, right?
Well, isn't there a joke that, most people break up after spending a day at IKEA, because it just, brings it all out there. We joke that we're often more marital counselors than organizers, because usually when people bring us in, it's because they moved in with somebody, their husband or wife is driving them crazy, they reached an impasse. We have had single clients, we've had tons of them, but there's just something about people coming together that just brings it to the forefront. And what's amazing is nobody ever sits down before they move in or before they get married and says, I like to file papers, and I really want to have all these papers filed away. And the other person doesn't sit down and say, hey, I just kind of tend to pile things. And, when I don't know what to do with a piece of paper, I add it to that pile, and then I keep adding to it. And then it gets really big, and then it takes over my whole desk. And then sometimes it kind of carries into the other room. Like, nobody sits down and has that conversation, even though we should, because you could probably come up with some reasonable compromises, like, just as long as it stays within your room, those papers. I can close the door.
And there's a reason the whole second part of our book is called Keeping the Peace. Because there's just so much to be said about. Really, organization in a lot of ways doesn't really actually, I think, come into play for most people until they do start to set up houses with someone else or a roommate conflict. There's a reason why, The Odd Couple was such a big hit now and today, and just 40 years ago.
Hey, so walk us through real quick. Somebody calls you, whether married or single or whatever, and just, I need help organizing. So walk us through the process of how you help them. Obviously you return the call and you listen to their story, maybe see their space and these days, of course, they can take pictures and videos, so you don't have to be, where they're at. But kind of walk us through the process of how you help folks.
Kate, you're taking this or me?
We have them take our personality quiz. We kind of have an idea of who we're dealing with. And usually, too, when people have heard about us now, they kind of know who they are. And it's easier. Like, the test helps you figure out who you are, and then you know. And then you see, even like on a FaceTime thing, what's going on and the problems people have. And when you get to the point where you're ready to call an organizer, you kind of know. And then we just come up with solutions, knowing what we know, that there are some people, that are filers and pilers, and some people who need to put their coats away in a closet, and others that just need a hook. And, our book has all these solutions as well, and we just kind of help tailor it towards somebody who needs a little extra help.
Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality. That's organizer. Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I was reading on your website that the difference between, putting a coat on a hanger and one's a one-step process and one's a five-step process, right? Hanging up in a closet is a five-step process. And I literally, when I read that, I resonated with how often I think it's a lot of work to hang up a coat in a closet. You're doing with a hanger. Right? And maybe that's
it is. And would you rather spend your time doing something more enjoyable than hanging up your coat?
I think it's a pain to make a bed every day. And some people say, oh, my gosh, I would never leave without making my bed, right? So we're all different.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I make my bed at the end of the day when I'm getting into it. You know, get it all nice and ready, and I'm fine. That's just how I am. It does not – whereas it can ruin someone's day not to have their bed made at the beginning of the day. And so, you know,
one of our big things is
no shame, no blame. No shame, no blame. Everybody's different.
You
know, everyone has their own way of organizing, and that
right. It's
time to stop, you know, shaming everybody, or this is the best way, or this is that way. There's only one way, and it's yours.
Wow. So you
unless
could
you're living with somebody, and then you
take it. You know, Randy and Monica do the Christian, you know, marriage workshops. You could tie in with marriages. I guess you probably already do already, pre-marriage counseling, things like that, and say, hey, this is perfect
this
to add to
huge.
Pre-marriage
yeah.
counseling, because I don't think anyone should get married without going through reading the books and counseling,
huge.
Learning about each other. They make it so easy to get married and hard to get divorced. And I think that would be so – that's so cool, because it would be – because I'm thinking while we're talking and talking, wow, now I know why I like to live alone. Forget it. I don't want to budge on any of it. And that's not the right way to think, right? I have to be thinking – no, you have to think about, you know – to get married, remarried or something, giving that. Because for me, I've always gone, oh, I think that'll be too much of a pain in the neck because I'm so used to it in my ways. But that makes sense. Wow.
When we work with couples, because like I was saying, you know, that's when you usually have some kind of conflicts or when it comes up that you're like, wow, we need to figure out like a new way to organize. Like when we work with them, we're just trying to find compromises that kind of make it easy for both of them, kind of respecting their differences. So, you know, it's kind of like the making the bed thing. If there's one person who really wants to make the bed, then it's probably going to be their responsibility rather than them nagging the other person.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, at the end of the day, if it means that much to you, that should be something you're doing. But like I, you know, one example I use is this client who she has what we call a visual memory. And she was structured. She's called an organic structure, and they have a visual memory, and she likes to, you know, do things according to a to-do list and a calendar. But she also had a visual reminder to do her bills by basically putting her mail on her dining room table, and it's a place that she walked by every day. And then she would kind of remember, like, oh, yeah, you know, it's getting towards the end of the month. I got to do the bills. And that was kind of her system along with, you know, obviously having a to-do list. And she got married to somebody who's much more like me. Like we call them classics, and he's just very traditional things, everything in place for everything in its place and behind closed doors, preferably, not on a surface, not out. It gets stressed out by visual clutter. And and so what he would do when they moved in together was he would take that pile of mail and keep it in the dining room, just like put it behind like closed doors, like behind like a cabinet door nearby.
Okay.
And she just kind of, like, there was a couple months she just didn't do the bills. And obviously that impacts your credit and other negative things. And he's like, dude, how do you forget to do the bills? And she's like, but that was an integral part. Like, me walking by it every day
was
an integral reminder. And that was her system. And so he kind of messed with her system because it was just stressing him out to see this pile of mail on a dining room table. And arguably a dining room table should be where you eat dinner and not where you hold mail. So what we did, we came in, I mean, something as simple as like what was her path that she was taking with the mail, putting in it was more like an entranceway, putting in like one of those acrylic folders, you buy like a wall folder,
or a box, doctor's office
sometimes.
Cute.
So it was both visual for her to see the mail, and she walked by it all the time, but it was technically had a proper home, was, you know, away and wasn't part of his dining room anymore. And those are the kind of compromises you're really looking to make, where he gets it tucked away, but it's still visual, and that's what you really want to go towards. And, you know, from our book, you can kind of, like, jump off there and come up with, like, you know, a million different solutions, because we really try to give, like, core principles, whether it's compromising or other parts of organizing, so that you can you know, when you attack a space, you're like, wait, what are the Pixies, like, top 10 tips? And you go from there and make it perfect for you.
And also the thing about that solution is that, you know, one of the things we always say that works for everybody is to formalize what you're already doing. Is a lot of times we go into someone's house and we're like, you're already organized. You just don't know it. It doesn't look good. And so a lot of times what we say is like, well, if you are already, you know, where your bills are, you know, you see them, you put them in a way that's more, you take them off the dining room table, put them in, you know, like on the wall for this one couple or on an entranceway so that you see them, that so it's more collected. You put a container around that pile of mail so it looks like it's supposed to be there versus just a big mess.
Oh, that's
so
a nice, something pretty. Something
just,
pretty,
you know,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like an art, and you could put it in
exactly.
a like a basket
get matching
type of thing.
In.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But if you have visual,
you know,
memory.
Too, someone, yeah, and if someone's like hanging up their coat on the dining room chair, then there should probably be a hook somewhere near there. Like you're never going to get that person to put their coat in the closet. So put a hook there. And those are kind of things that are compromised,
really?
Easy fixes that can work. Yeah, absolutely.
But Kate,
they,
remember the visual memory
do they take the, oh my God, do they take this, the test, the quiz first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the step? Like
yeah.
they take the quiz first and then they talk to you on the phone or they meet with you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do they tell
mm-hmm.
you what their problems are, what they feel their problems are first, or do you kind of look around and say, I mean, how do you figure this out with them when you're, like with us in
a little
real
bit
estate,
of both.
You know, we, the more questions we ask.
A little
okay.
bit of both, yeah. A little bit of both.
Yeah, because usually they have, you know, something that's bugging them, and then we can kind of discern, like, maybe the source of that and what could help improve it. So, like, you could have, like, tons of problems in your kitchen, but maybe, like, part of that problem is, like, your entranceway, you know, isn't set up. So you don't have that mail bin she's talking about. Or your mail bin has,
right.
as I was trying to say earlier, like, is like, an opaque bin with a lid, you know, that you're like, okay, if you have a visual memory, you need something that's transparent. Like, oh, that's a beautiful, like, bin you got in there, but, like, you're never going to, if you have a visual memory, if you're
wow.
What we call an organic or a smart, you're never going to remember it's in there. And so, anyway, but we can sometimes kind of see that there's problems that, like, when one area of the house leads to another. And we actually start the book with entranceways because that usually creates a ton of problems. And
really?
Creates is also a source of solutions,
people
like, you know, having
off,
an inbox.
Dump off their shoes,
mm-hmm.
dump off. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They take everything off. So do you ever walk in sometimes and you find somebody's really, really OCD? I don't like to label people because we're all different and we all have different quirks and things and personalities.
Okay,
and there's parts of our personalities that are beautiful, so it's kind of mean when someone says, you've got this. But do you ever walk in and it's like
mm-hmm.
like they're not going to be able to budge because it's like so ingrained and say they're way older? Does that bring up any memories of any examples?
Well, usually OCD people or quote-unquote people who say, oh, I'm OCD, or not OCD, they're usually just really, like, you know, neat and tidy classics, you know, just your traditional, everything has to be super organized, clean countertops.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they do that is it helps them relax to not have, they get stressed out with too much clutter. I can get stressed
right.
out with too much clutter, or if, like,
right.
I have visitors and, like, there's mess everywhere and they have a different way, like, it can stress me out. But, you know, I personally
right.
actually... Well, like, my parents are visiting, I have conversations because they're messier than me. My whole family's messier than me. It was
really
it was difficult.
That's so funny.
Growing up. But I will have to actually say to myself, like, this is, like, just a weekend. Enjoy yourself. Don't ruin it by, like, obsessing over dishes, like, not being
right.
done or sitting in the sink.
Just kind of let it go.
And
chill out.
Yeah, to chill out. And
yeah.
It's hard. So I would tell some people to do that because it'll make you a nicer host. And that's usually when these problems come up is you're hosting people that aren't like
mm-hmm.
you. And I don't think mm-hmm. people realize that, you know, sometimes you don't even want to, like, people stop wanting to hang out with you because you're so intense
right.
about your need for a relaxation. So I always, you know, try to help people with that, like, knowing when to let go of these things, like when it's like, hey, it's your home, you're by yourself, your husband, like, but sometimes, you know, to be a great hostess or host, sometimes you do need to kind of, like, not, you know, pick up
chill
a coffee
out.
Cup mid-person drinking it, you know, like, let them linger, you know, with it, or, you know, because people can be a little intense. And
no,
I think it's hard
sense.
To...
It may,
mm-hmm.
I'm only laughing because I can picture it. It makes... Give everybody wine, and everybody gets happy, and then they'll just forget about it. No, I'm just kidding. No,
it's true. Especially classics.
They loosen up.
They loosen up
loosen
with a little
up.
Wine, true.
Katie
yeah,
and Kelly
really.
McGinnaman.
Hey, we got some wine and cheese here. Oh, my
God. Kelly McMiniman are with us. And I'll say it again. Katie and Kelly McMiniman are with us, and they are the Magical Pixies. They've got a book, Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality. And we've been talking about just some of the kind of stuff that, you know, surface stuff, maybe, if you will, some of the big stuff. But there's tips that you guys have, and you mentioned that a little earlier, kind of a pixie tips. And let's, can we cruise through a few of these anyway? Maybe not through all of them, but like number one, the pixie tip is know who you are. So talk about that for a minute. What is that?
Kate?
Well, that's really just to know whether or not you're more of a messy type or more of a, you know, relaxed, you know, more uptight like my sister, like whether you clean things up right away or whether you, you know, take your time and don't make your bed in the morning. I mean, those are the kind of fundamental things. Like, the fact that my sister will never eat on her couch, never let the children eat on her couch, you know, those are very clear rules. That's a very, you know who you are. You know whether you're going to be eating potato chips on your couch or not. And and those kind of things. And so you accept who you are. It's much easier to organize around who you actually are and not who you think you should be. And so that's what we, you know, the number one thing about that. And it helps you define how you're going to organize from there.
Because, you know, when you're at work.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that when you're at work, everyone can be whatever's asked of them. You know, you can organize however this organization you're working for has to be or who you're working for, what they ask of you. Everyone can do that. But when you come home, you need to know who you are and just let go and build your life around who you actually are rather than who you think you should be. And that's really who the, you know, what, you know who you are is just to kind of, like Katie said, accept it and be like, yes.
That's it. That's why
I embrace it, because home is where your heart is, you know, and you've got to have your castle at home, right? Wow. Interesting. So,
very cool.
Who are you choose off self? Yeah.
The change is hard. Be honest about organizing. And, again, you know, people know who they are, but at the same time, there are ways that even the relaxed people, right, want to be organized to some degree, right? So they ask you, like, you know, help me organize, but don't make it hurt so much, right? Is that kind of what that is? Just be honest about organizing and who you are?
I mean, and that's more, too, of, like, knowing and also, you know, formalizing what you're already doing, too. So that the more honest you are, the easier it is to you know, make things that are already working work better.
Well, it's like if you never hang up your coat in a coat closet, you know, just, like, give up on that idea and buy a coat rack, you know, instead of asking yourself to fundamentally change who you are, just say, well, all right, I usually just put it on this chair. And, you know, instead of just putting it on the chair and maybe annoying somebody else in the house or not having the extra chair for people to sit on, you get a coat rack, and it's the same amount of steps, you know, just as easy. And it's kind of more akin to who you are. I mean, again, change is hard. So you're always trying to find to go with what doesn't involve a ton of change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Path of least resistance kind of deal, you know,
correct,
to some degree. But change as much as you can. And, Pixie, here's another tip. Here says Pixie tip number three. Pinterest perfect isn't real. And my wife is all over Pinterest, man, whenever she's got guests coming over for dinner, she wants the next coolest, you know, meal that she can make for people. And, you know, it never turns out the way.
Yes.
You want to do. So that's it, right? It's kind of like Facebook. It's a fantasy to some degree, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantasy. I mean, that's the number one thing is that we're always trying to – I mean, you have to realize that, like, you know, back in the day when people had servants and all these different people helping them get that perfection, I mean, that takes a lot of money and time to get that perfect. You got to decide
right.
That's what you're going to spend your time doing. Would you rather spend time hanging out with your family and, you know, friends and enjoying that wine, or would you rather spend time making sure that, you know, all that stuff? It just really depends on who you are. And that's why knowing who you are and how perfect how much time you want to put into making how perfect your life is, you know, and it just doesn't exist. And so we keep seeing all these images and it's just not real. And so, you know, be honest and see that it's not real. Yeah.
Well, and it's a snapshot. It's like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And usually somebody styled the heck out of that scene. And my house at the end of the day kind of looks like a nice Pinterest photo. Midday, it never does. I have 3 young boys from 9 to 1 year old. So there's today I was walking around the house and I was like, why are there like knives, like, you know, butter knives in the living room? But I realized my little guy got into the kids, you know, little silverware drawer and I hadn't locked it. And, you know, these are things that happen. And, you know, I could have spent all that time, you know, cleaning up. But instead, I had to go within because it's hard for me to let – I do want the Pinterest perfection at all times. But I wouldn't get anything done if I basically –
You know, also on the other – And on the other hand, it's actually really helpful for me to see my sister's mess midday, because it also helps me not think, you know, as somebody who is less than perfect most of the time, they're like, oh, it's okay that it's not, you know, perfect all the time. And you're like, there's that movement. Because I think sometimes certain personality types get stuck up on that perfection ideal. And once you realize
right.
that it really can't ever happen, you're like, oh, okay, all right, well, then this is okay. And, you know, while I have kids, or, you know, it's much easier when it's just you alone or just you and your significant other. But, you know, children throw a big, huge wrench into that, any organizing. You know, living with other people
sure.
is the hardest organizational challenge there is.
Mm. I've always said I think I'd rather have a happy home than a spotless home, although it needs to be a clean home. But I'm just saying it just makes a,
yes.
makes a difference.
Yeah.
I noticed on here, it's just you've got who are you? Classics, funds, organics, and smarts.
Yeah.
Do some people kind of have a mixture of everything?
Well, basically, almost half the population are classics, and we're the ones who basically
really?
Define the rule of the game, like about 40%. And we're very detail-oriented. We like we like things tidy. We like things put away. We would, you know, there are plenty of us who, like I said, are just, like, obsessed with keeping a Pinterest perfection all day. And some people who will waste their time doing that because it gives them a sense of relaxation or whatever, you know, what have you. But generally, you know, helps them be at peace. Like, they're the people who come from work if their house is messy. In order to relax, have to clean it up. Rather than my sister on the other end of the spectrum, can come home, relax, and mess if she's exhausted, and then, like, deal with it the next day. But so anyway, classics are, like, just what you think about. Every organizer is basically almost a classic, and with the exception of Katie and probably a few others. And then you have funds who are very similar to classics in terms of, like, being very detail-oriented, generally tidy. They can file papers, but they're just a little less structured with their time. Classics are people who have a to-do list. I'm obsessive about my to-do list. Sometimes, like, if something's not on my to-do list and I did it, I'll write it in and then check it off, even though I've already done it, because I enjoy so much getting things done.
Right.
And my to-do list.
Calendar for you.
Mm-hmm. So calendar. Whereas funds are like, they can do to-do lists. They don't need to do to-do lists to get things done. And, you know, for them, if they're having trouble, like, or missing things, we might give them a different recommendation than a to-do list. We might say, oh, hey, you know, why don't you set up reminders on your phone to go off? That tends to work better and last with them longer, that type of a system, than starting to do to-do lists regularly.
Wow.
And then organics are kind of, they're, you know what, they're really flexible people. Katie is an organic freedom, and organic structures are really nice, like Katie, but they're a little more structured with their time. They're like classics of the to-do list, but they, organics and smarts have visual memories. They have more clutter around. They just have more stuff, and, you know, they're the ones, organics, who sometimes have trouble, like, letting go of possessions. You know, when you hear, you know, typical organizing advice, like, oh, take a picture of it. They're like, but I want the actual thing, not a picture of it. Like, they really,
right.
you know, kind of have feelings around these things, to a lesser extent, smarts. But organic structures can have a little bit less stuff than organic freedoms, and basically, like I said, you know, like to do a kind of a big picture grand plan. They're really good at, you know, just kind of seeing the big picture and prioritizing, scheduling. So they're kind of like the ultimate schedulers. And smarts are similar to the way organics are. There's smart structures and smart freedoms, and smart freedoms, again, don't need to structure their time, don't usually like to do to-do lists, and they, you know, have a little bit more trouble getting rid of things than classics or funds, but, you know, they're a little more logical in their decision-making than organics, so they're better than organics at getting rid of things.
Wow.
Would you say that's accurate, Katie?
Yep, that's pretty good.
Wow.
Wow.
Katie and Kelly.
They say opposite
Miniman
track. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, and you know what? And part of, I think, what you guys end up doing, like you say, as, you know, counselors, is helping people embrace diversity, right? And embrace the difference and the beauty and the difference. I mean, because you guys probably can help. Is your mom still a therapist, practicing therapist? Did you say that earlier?
She is retired, but I think she's still licensed.
Yeah, because I'm
still
saying, you guys could funnel you know, clients, you know, for further addressing these issues, you know, because I think you guys just kind of bring some of this stuff and people dealing with stuff. But it's just, it, to me, it's fascinating, man, again, that, you know, what you guys end up doing with people. And but, and, well, I know where I was going with that, embracing the difference, because you learn from the, you know, the people, other people who are hypertense, right, and all uptight and whatnot, and classic or whatever, need to learn to relax. And so we can learn from those other people if we allow ourselves to, right?
Exactly. Mm.
That's kind of our no shame, no blame.
That you
kind of are who you are. And unless you're complaining to me that you don't get anything done, like if you're a classic who's cleaning up 24 hours a day, if you come to me and you're like, I don't get anything done, I'm going to find a way to help you not clean 24 hours, like put a door on things that you keep cleaning up, and don't enter that door so you can actually get work done. So we come up with solutions for everybody, because, you know, everybody has problems organizing. So they're just very different, you know, because a classic, quote unquote, is always clean. But like I said, you could end up wasting, they could end up wasting, like, you know, an entire work day cleaning if they're home, for example, rather than getting work done. So, you know, we work with the messy guy who's not getting work done because he hasn't organized his piles, to the one with no piles, but that's because they're wasting their time making sure there's no piles.
Wow.
I saw a poster one time and said, I'm too busy to be organized. And I was like, I get that now, because it's, wow, this is really great. I like the smarts, inventive, clever, mastermind, intellectual. They're clever and inventive.
Yes.
It's just...
smarts actually tend to be really into books.
Yes. The one downfall of smarts is they have way too many books. Thank gosh for Kindle, or they'd all be lost.
Oh, man. Again, Katie and Kelly McCinnamon are with us, and they're the magical pixies. And we've really, again, we typically get a lot of folks that that check out this show, you know, online afterwards. But they can contact you guys, again, at pixiesdidit.com, right?
Yep.
Is that the best spot? Yep.
Yep, that's the best spot, and you can do virtual consults, so you can be anywhere. I mean, we're in New York and Cleveland, but and have clients there, but we can do virtual consults with, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, we do photo, you know, give us photos, videos, and we do, you know, over the phone or Skype kind of Google
FaceTime.
Hangout talks. Mm-hmm, exactly.
FaceTime.
Yeah.
That's perfect. See you have a Pixie certification coming soon. Is that because people are going to be able to sell your products or sell your certification, or how does that work?
To train them to be able to really, so to help organizers be able to help and understand people's personality types and give them the right solutions that will work for them and stay. You know, because we got in the business, Katie actually hired, she said to me the reason she couldn't stay organized when I was organizing her was I wasn't a professional organizer, because at the time I was a research analyst at a hedge fund. I told her it was just because she was a mess. But then she hired a professional organizer, and it still didn't stick. But I remember thinking, wow, these systems are great, the professional organizer came up with. But they were systems that were meant for me. And I, you know, in my detail-oriented way, would keep up all this huge filing system. Whereas Katie's type, visual memory types, organics and smarts, like at home, they don't need a filing cabinet. They just need, we create these whole things called piling systems. That's literally what it is, what it sounds like, an organized piling system. And so it works with these types, because they really do naturally pile their papers. I mean, everybody piles to a certain extent, but these guys really pile. And so, like, you know, Katie's system is like 7 piles, you know, in open transparent bins, and they're labeled so other people can basically, you know, interact with these piles. But it's a system, and you almost don't even need to file. Like, we call for that, these types of filing cabinets are like mausoleums. It's like where papers go to die. It's where you bury them, and you will not access them again, most likely. So like insurance, life insurance, that kind of stuff is what goes in there for these types. And it isn't your active, you know, daily papers and filing.
Huh. Yeah, there's a big bookshelf in my kitchen, and I have I actually have 8 piles, and they are all nicely contained in matching wire bins with labels. And, you know, most people would have their cookbooks or whatever on those shelves, but I have these piles, and it looks nice because it's all matching, and it's all, you know, and everyone can get into it. Everyone has their own cubby, Every kid, every person in this household has their own cubby, and I have all the files, the bills, the insurance, the health stuff, the everything that needs to go where it needs to go right there, and I don't have to go searching for it. I know exactly where it is right then because it's all been done ahead of time. Boom. So everyone has, we find a solution for everybody, and it's all in our book on Organize Your Way, too.
Can like the Tony and Oscar, you know, the member of the show Tony and Oscar. What was the show called?
The Odd Couple.
Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple.
Odd Couple. Yeah.
The Odd Couple. Oscar the Odd Couple. Yeah, Oscar and Felix. Can like a husband and wife or wife and wife that are totally opposite? One's really messy, the other's spotless. Can you take that and kind of get the compromise, or is that like they just better
absolutely.
Get used to each other?
Absolutely. Yeah? No, you can totally. I mean, that thing is that everyone, you know, whoever's in charge of the household often takes on. They kind of get a little veto over what's going on because it's always the way it is. Someone always kind of takes over one than the other. So, but there's never any impasse. We can find a solution and a compromise for everybody.
That's great. Or they could actually pay to someone to come in and clean all the time. No, I'm kidding.
That's a very good compromise. That's my idea.
Well. Let's pay someone else to do it. No.
Nothing wrong with that.
When you get so busy running businesses, it's like you don't always, sometimes your time can be used better in other ways, but that's another thing.
You know, as you guys described the piles, right, and the organized piles, and it's okay to pile, just, you know where they're at and stuff. I'm thinking about my desk and you know, I and maybe it comes with my age too, but if I put something in a pile, and I used to be a piler, but I've changed because when I put stuff in a pile, I tend to then kind of forget about the stuff that's, you know, down a ways. And so I like to put stuff on the wall. I don't know what is that? Is that, you have a definition for that kind of guy? But
that's actually a very good system too. We actually often tell people to do that, to use like rising piles instead so you can see it all at once so you don't lose stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good solution.
Yeah, I have to put it on a wall. I have cork boards. I have whiteboards in my office.
Yep.
You know, so if I get an idea, rather than 75 sticky notes on my desk, because I get ideas all day long, and that's just from the ADD.
Right.
And so I have this whiteboard, and I'll just go over there and put it on the whiteboard. So there it is, and it's there until I need it again, you know. Because otherwise I'll have 75 stickies on my desk, and it's crazy. So interesting.
Well, and a lot of people don't know everything that's in their pile, but they will know, like, I think that permission slips in there, and they kind of know it's in that pile. And it's one of the reasons we tell people never to organize somebody else's piles because,
because
you can really mess somebody up because, like, you're, you know, it's like, oh, my God, I thought it was in one of those two piles, and now you've, you know, put them together. Like, you know, now I'm never going to be able to find this, you know. The only difference, I guess, would be, you know, with online stuff, it's a little bit easier to find things, quote unquote, in piles on your laptop. I don't mean online per se. I mean, like, on your laptop because it's a little more Mary Poppins where you can, you know, do a quick search and, you know, as if you could with your finger on the top of the pile, like, you know, touch it and bring up a document. It, you know, it's a little easier to do that on your laptop because we basically tell people if you're, you know, a classic or a fun and you file things away, then create files and your emails, create files, go ahead on your computer. But if you're a piler, like, don't create files and don't waste your time. Like, you're never going to, like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, I put that under F for finance, you know? Like, you'll have a better chance of just saving it and doing a search and, you know, knowing, you know, around about what it's called rather than looking for a file called finance.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
That we used to. Everybody works virtually now, but we used to be, you know, build a building, and all have, you know. And I remember one of the assistants who I'm still good friend for the past 20 years used to say, I could do anything, but you always said, don't touch your desk, and meaning don't touch my desk. And it was because I would have piles of papers, but knew exactly where everything was to the T. And, that's kind of, I can totally get all that. You know, Randy, being in Hawaii and then on the mainland, you know how it's so different. Like, in Hawaii, people usually don't blow the horn when you're driving. On the East Coast, everybody blows the horn, right? There's a different level of what's expected or what's not expected. I found that living in Hawaii for so many years made me kind of undo some of those traits that would have been like, it has to be now. It's got to be done now, you know, versus chill out, it's okay, it'll still work itself out, right? It's kind of a process.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll ever get
it's
over.
It's a different world over there, that's for sure. You know, where it's, in fact, these guys even have the bumper stickers that say, "This ain't the mainland, brada." You know, it's like, because you just are always, people on the mainland are so uptight, you know, and over there, it's just like, hey, relax. You know, they can't keep people working, right? And you know this, Natalie. I mean, even the service industry over there and the people who, there are plenty of jobs over there, but people don't work because, like, they'll work, and then if it's a good surf day, they go surfing. It's like, you know, that's the priority, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep
I think Hawaii probably attracts personality types more like me, more relaxed anyway.
Yep, yep.
Because it's an island lifestyle, and
Yeah, but then it's other things. But then, like, the East Coast, I remember, because in Hawaii, like, if someone's blowing the horn, you're like, uh-oh, they're from the mainland, you know? On the East Coast, I remember coming back, like, after being on the islands for years, only coming back once or, you know, for conventions and stuff, then I started being on the mainland more again. I was driving, and I went to let a truck in on the on a route, and he just pulled over it. Like, he thought, what are you doing? He didn't think. I was like, I'm just letting the person in. And I remember going to Connecticut from Maryland to a convention, because I thought, I'll just drive, because when you're on the islands for a long time and then you fly all the time, it's nice to drive here and there. But so I'll just drive. By the time I got from Maryland up into Connecticut, because the more you go up north, the more people blow the horns. I mean, it's reality, right?
Yeah.
By the time I got up into the hotel, I drove, these people are maniacs. Ah! I'm like, this is crazy, because I wasn't used to it again. You know, I was like, I'm more used to it now. And then, but I love people and all different. But it is funny when you look at those traits and ways and how we finally chill out if we're not chilled out people. And, you know, it's just kind of interesting. It really is amazing. I think the big thing is to accept everybody, right, and say, hey, how are we going to do this?
Like, you're in Connecticut, everyone's going to be more uptight than if you were, like, down south, or versus, you know, even down south is probably more uptight than Hawaii. And every country has, like, a different personality type. When you study Myers-Briggs, it's like you kind of, you learn everybody, you know, and you start to make sense. Like, America's obviously kind of maybe has a, you know, more uptight personality type than, say, like, France, or, you know, and you start to, you know, and then even within America, obviously, we have different regions that, some are more uptight than others, et cetera. But, and then people's families, you know, some families are really, you know, mine, everybody was laid back except for me, you know.
I love it. This is so brilliant, because you hear about organizers, but they don't usually do the assessment test, right? And this is just brilliant to come in from where, you know, to have
and that's
it make
why
sense
we're going
to
do the, that's why we want to do the Pixie training, so that, you know, any organizer can help you no matter what your type is. So you're not just doing organizing for someone like me and it doesn't work, because, you know, I'm such a more relaxed type. I need a different system.
Right. So that would be temporary without these tests and new assessments and you knowing, getting them to know them, then it would just be a temporary fix, right? And this way it could
be
permanent change, permanent kind of,
And you can take the test or the, you know, quiz we have on the Pixie quiz. It's up online anytime. You can take it and you can read about your personality type. So you can do it for fun. And, you know, we give out, you know, almost daily, you know, little mini tips on making life easier on our social media pages, on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know.
Oh,
like,
I love it.
You know, you always have, like, classics. One of them I did this week was, you know, I was on vacation with a bunch of classics, you know, just super clean people, and they're like, have you heard about this new silicone sponge? And I'm like, no, because so, like, that was one of the tips. So, because people who are classics obsess over, like, the dirtiness of sponges and, you know, this is something that
dirty,
my sister would be like, what? Like, you know, this is not crossing her mind, but, you know, probably 40% of Americans would be like, oh, my God, that's amazing news. I can just put it in the dishwasher, and it's instantly clean. But, you know, we also have laid-back tips as well, not just classic stuff. But, yeah, just quick tips like that, and, you know, beyond just us solving more complex dilemmas for clients. And,
I love it. In houses over the years, and you go in and something, because you want to try to, the way we sell a house and the way we live in it are two different things, because you have to say that to people when it's really messy, because it has to be picked up or clutter has to be put away, otherwise they can't get it, right? But you go in and people, oh, those people were slobs. Well, no, they may be just really busy. Why do you think they're slobs? I don't think they're slobs. I think they might be busy. You know, so I don't, I kind of understand. And me, I always have paperwork around. And when I go to hotels, I travel a lot with conventions. I don't want them to clean my room usually every day because I don't want them coming in with my laptop. And I do have books all over the place. And I do, and I'm just like, no. And they put do not disturb, right? And it's like, it doesn't bother me to not have the room cleaned for a few days. It's like, what the heck? But somebody else might be like, oh, my God, that has to be cleaned like that moment, you know? I'm just saying, we're all different, and it's kind of neat to say we're all different, and it's just really cool. But
you guys hit on I've been in radio about 40 years, and my wife and I recently were doing an afternoon show in near Chicago, and one of the hottest topics, like, you know, we'd throw out topics for people to call in on and stuff, and often because we're married, a lot of it was revolved around differences. So it was kind of fun and kind of speaks into some of what you're doing. But one of the hottest topics in responses we ever got was the conversation of, based on a real life issue, which is, you know, I wash dishes in the sink. If they're in the sink, I'll wash them, because to me, rinsing them and putting them in the washing machine and having, or dishwasher, and having them sit there for a day or two, right? They're not washed yet, you know, and that bugs me. And I'm not normally obsessive compulsive about that, but I'm thinking it's so much cleaner to wash them right away. But Monica was of the opinion, like, no, the dishwasher cleans them better than you can even clean them with your hand and the scrub daddy or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, you guys hit on it a few minutes ago, that whole idea of the differences between in the washer, dishwasher.
We can't tell you how many times we've actually talked about people with the dishwasher, even how to load dishwashers properly.
Oh,
we had
a whole
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Dishwashers are a big issue in people's houses.
No, my mother-in-law, before she puts them in the dishwasher, hand cleans all the dishes, no matter how many times I've told her that.
Wash water.
I was like, but that's the point of the dishwasher. It washes them, so you don't have to do them. Like, they invented this.
She rinses them off, right?
She rinses them off to the point where I can't tell. Like, you know, when you open a dishwasher, like my family, you can tell.
It's not hot water, but you know it's not hot water. Oh, I get it. Okay, so, yeah, we all have our own ways of doing things.
Yeah. So,
because I use the dishwasher, but I rinse them off really well. Because I don't think
the
dishwasher gets all the food off.
But I actually read somewhere that, like, their design, the dishwashing soap, is designed to attach itself to particles on plates, so the dishwashing soap works better if there's a few particles. Now, I'm not talking about, like, wedges of meat.
Oh, my
like,
gosh, I would have never thought that in a million years.
Yeah, when I read that,
but
if you tell people...
You can't tell
if you tell people who...
Sorry. Oh, wow. Huh.
You also can't tell people that nowadays they've made, like, for washing your clothes... Most, you only need cold water. All the detergents are made to work best with cold water. But you can't tell people who've been washing their clothes in hot water that there's any difference.
It's for towels.
You can't.
Though,
you can, like,
yeah,
try it until the cows come home. But no, it really, cold water is all you need. You don't have to waste money on hot water for washing your clothes.
Wow.
Won't get them cleaner. But no one's going to believe that. Like, everyone has their things. They do what they do. It's very hard. So at the end of the day, you have to decide, am I going to change this person's mind, or am I going to make life easy and just say, sure, go ahead. Wash the dishes by hand if you want to. It's your job. You want to do it.
I think,
you do it. Okay.
I think we have to embrace ourselves and say that's just the way you are. That's the way it is. You know, kind of thing. And, and I think I was reading it. I'm definitely more of a smart, inventive, clever, and that's just only 10% of the population is like that. I'm going, okay, well, whatever.
You're
I always have that. They go, yeah, you're different. I'm like, I wanted to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. You know. But yeah, it's no. I don't know that. But it's funny because when you think about it, there's different things we might be quirky or anal about, and other things where we don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me there could be a strong mixture all around, because, like, for me, it's the situation. Like, I don't like a dirty house, but it doesn't have to be spotless. I mean, I don't like, but I don't mind papers in a mess, because I want to get my things done and go do what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to freak out about it. But I learned that in real estate, because I did have a spotless place before I got in real estate, and I would Clorox every week the whole place. And after, I was only 23, and after months, you know, and my son was six, I was already getting divorced, and after months, it was like, I'm either going to have a happy home or not. And then I've always had a housekeeper come in either once a week or twice a month now, because I don't need it every week, but back then I did. But I'm just saying, when you look at it, you go, wow, I had to learn to let some of that go that I was really anal about before, because in our business, you know, it was really, this was pre-internet days and everything. You know, you're constantly slammed if you're doing a lot. So,
right. Yeah. Well, smart's a really good with prioritizing.
It's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
not surprised.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But
well,
I was going to
say,
times where you're afraid to eat a piece of bread because of crumb, you know, you're afraid to do anything, and that's kind of stressful in itself, but maybe not.
Well, if it gives somebody else relaxation, then I'm like, fine, you know, but you want to just balance it out if you're stressing somebody out by not letting, you know, somebody else eat in your house. But, you know, when you were talking about real estate earlier and selling homes and some people being slobs, you know, one of my friends is a real estate agent out in L.A., and, you know, it's really hard to, you have to, you know, really declutter a lot of homes, and it's hard for people to, you know, that's, organics especially, like, have the toughest time with it. And one of the solutions we have, which is really easy when you're kind of like prepping your home to put on the market, is we call it a later box, the magical later box, which is basically, and you can do this even if you're not prepping to sell your home, but basically you go through and anything that isn't like part of your daily life that you adore or bugs you, but you can't part with it, you put it in a box, you put it in a storage, you know, whether it's your attic or garage or wherever, you know, you kind of keep things that are not part of your daily life. You put it there for like 3 months, 6 months, a year. You revisit it and you ask yourself, like, what's in there before you look at it.
Right.
And if there's something you missed that you want to keep, you keep it. Anything you've forgotten about, like, think about it. You forgot it even existed. And those are the things you can let go. People sometimes just need to have things removed from their life, as well as having time to separate them for them to be like, I'm done with it. Because a lot of times people can remember a lot of stuff that's in the boxes that they don't want to get rid of. And what we say is, that's fine. You're going to have a heavier attic, you know. If you want to pay for that, then that's your choice. But, you know, and some people are like, yeah, I do. I don't want to get rid of it. And we're like, that's fine, you know, because a lot of personality types, they can't let go in that way.
Wow.
But what we're saying is, if you don't love it enough to have it in your, like, you know, if it isn't bringing you joy, at least don't have it part of your daily life, you know, cluttering up your home.
Maybe,
and, you know.
Well, you know, we're creatures of habit. So if we, you know, that's a great point, though. Like, try it out, test it, put it away, and see how you feel then. And a lot of it might be, oh, wow, you're right. I never even looked at it. Who needs it, you know? And we really are. I think that, to me, the biggest thing, lesson to me, is for us to accept each other, you know, to say, hey, you're not, you know, because some people say you are crazy if you have a mess, or some people say you're crazy if you're too clean. I mean, you know how people get really label and be mean, and I think it's really about acceptance and saying, hey, you know, this, I love this. This is so, I don't think I've ever, Randy, have you come across, I don't think I've ever come across an organizing situation where you hear people come in and organize, where they do the assessment test first and really get you to know you and vice versa. I think this makes it brilliant. Really brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
We agree completely. Yeah. It is good. Yeah. And you should buy
everybody
our book right now. Organize your way. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody.
Wow.
PixiesDidIt.com.
Yeah.
Everybody, go there
right
now.
Away.
You got to go there now before it's too late.
Exactly. Visit our website. We've got lots for
you,
for everybody.
Katie and Kelly, thank you so much.
Gosh,
for being with us.
Gosh, by really fast. Thank you.
Thank you
we
so
will
much,
be
guys.
In touch
I really
too.
Appreciate it.
And I'm going to take a quiz.
All right. Wow.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Wow.
Good stuff. Boy, that does tie into real estate, like she talked about at the end there. You know, people who, you know, the agents have to declutter the houses and stuff. And that, I'm sure, you know, again, in Hawaii, Natalie, you've run into that. You know, because people have a lot of stuff in small spaces.
Oh, yeah, a lot of small spaces. But it's right. The way you sell a home and the way you show it are two different things. And we try to tell people, you know, if you can put up with all the, you know, minutiae real quick, then you're going to get it sold faster than if you just leave everything in. And in that situation, you definitely have to declutter, because you're looking for a buyer that wants to picture their own home, and they can't picture it if it's too much clutter, you know. But,
yeah.
Oh, I love this. This is really
good stuff.
It's wonderful.
Another good go.
Yeah,
it's
fun too. I want to go through all the fun stuff too, and the trip stuff. That is kind of, there's so much you can do with it, huh? Play around with it.
Yep. Yep. Very, very cool. Well, have a great week, everybody. Rest of the week anyway, and we're making our way down the mountain. So, leaving the resort here.
Everybody,
Lake
Tahoe. Stay safe. good for you. And we spend time with your grandbabies.
Yeah, baby.
And I love that. And we're praying for everybody with all the storms and those of you in Florida, I hope they leave instead of staying. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.